on the week that he has celebratified such an important millstone. I am recording this personal message to Tony Blair. He is a man who speakerfies my language. And there are not many people who can do that. As the prime miniseries of Brittany, Tony's achievementations have been many and varicose. He has brokered a lasting peace in Northern Isle of Man between the ICA and the pronunciationists. He has shown himself to be a friend of the environmental with his efforts at the Coyote Summit to lower the spread of dangerous green mouse emissions. Yes, for 5 years, Tony Blair has been in power. For 5 years, he has ruled with unquestioned authority. But make no mistake, we will flush him out. He cannot stay hidden in the cave forever. Mark my words, our special forces will prevaricate. You can run, Mr. Blair, but you cannot hide-ify.
Ringers.
And with an Anton Deck remake on the way, there's a chance now here on UK Gold to see a much-loved classic episode of Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads.
Oh, it's no good, Terry. We've already given blood, done flower arranging for the Women's Institute. There's no way we can get through this whole half-an-hour sitcom without avoiding hearing the result of the big match.
Aye, that's where you're wrong, Bonnie lad. Though, but I've found the perfect way not to find out what the final score was, man.
By seeking sanctuary from the loudmouth no-good Flint in that church over there.
No, Bonnie lad. I've just subscribed to ITV Digital. We're never going to see another football match ever again, man.
Hello, I'm Nick Ross. In the medicine cabinet of life, I'm three Valium washed down with a Mogadon chaser. On the show tonight, we're trying to get to the bottom of a disappearance that occurred last weekend on Radio 4. Were you anywhere near your radio last Sunday night, and did you hear this terrible noise?
Hello, I'm Matt Smith, and welcome to Go For It, Ace.
Yes, just half an hour after this, Matt Smith suddenly disappeared from Radio 4. Please say they're keen to speak to the handful of children thought to have been listening to Go For It at the time.
Ace.
Does this reconstruction of the final minutes of last week's Go For It shed any light on Matt's disappearance?
This week on the show, my producer said it would be a great idea to investigate what it'd be like to be inside a sack. So, in I go. Hey. Hey, what a coincidence. Comet is already in there. Kids, we seem to have been thrown into the back of a moving vehicle. Isn't this great investigation? Ace. Watch out, we seem to have stopped now. Someone's picked up the bag, and we're being hurled into the... river. I'm drowning. Only joking. No, I'm not. Ace.
Or is Matt's disappearance explained more simply by the fact that everyone at Radio 4 had finally grown sick of a grown man patronising intelligent children by constantly talking down to them and saying,
Ace.
Caesar. On 92 to 95 FM. On 198 long wave. You are listening to BBC Radius IV. And whatever comes out of this radio, we stand a better chance of survival if we work together. Unless it's you and yours, in which case you're on your own.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. At my signal, unleash the news. The 12 British people convicted of spying in Greece are having their story made into a film. Here's a clip from Plane Spotting.
Choose a holiday, choose Greece, choose an air show, choose a camera, choose photographs, choose an anorak, get a life, get arrested, get a prison sentence, choose to appeal, choose something else to do, choose a different hobby. In fact, choose choo-choos, they're much safer.
I'm Jonathan Moss. Hello and welcome to Film 2002. Like my other late night show, only with more laughs. Flush with the success of the new Star Wars films, George Lucas has started work on a British version, also telling the tale of an idealistic young man destined to change the universe.
He was a young boy who dreamt of freeing the galaxy from an evil empire.
Master, how can I best serve my people? Starry eyes, big cloak, glowing Paul Smith lightsaber.
A long time ago, in a decade far, far away from the 1970s, an idealistic young Labour MP, Tony Blair, begins his quest, guided by his ethereal mentor.
Yes, young Blair, it is I. The wise, white-haired old figure, who many mistake for a tramp, because I've chosen to take the appearance of a simple hermit.
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No, Michael Foot.
A tale of rare daring do, which climaxes with Blair risking all to free a damsel in distress.
I've traveled half the universe to free you from this cell. What do you have to say for yourself, princess?
The name's Claire Short, actually. As Intergalactic Overseas Development Minister, I believe that rather than resorting to guns and shooting, we should be opening meaningful lines of communication with the Emperor's stormtroopers.
Second thoughts.
Only for Blair to discover the shocking truth about his origins.
But you are the most evil, hateful figure in the galaxy. You and I have nothing in common.
That's where you're wrong, Tony. I am your father.
Tony Blair, now in his fifth record-breaking year, playing to a sell-out House of Parliament near you.
Hello. My name is Greg Dyke. Now, a lot of people have been asking me how I thought up the idea for that ident, where that bloke leaves work by the window to get home. Well, it wasn't difficult. No. You see, the last producer who came up to me suggesting we get Johnny Vaughan to do another sitcom, he left work by the window. Job done. Done and dusted.
This is the 10 o'clock news with me, Michael Burke. I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. More on that story later. But first, concerned about falling ratings for its heavyweight political programmes, the BBC has decided to give them a fresh new look, starting with the local elections coverage. Hello there and welcome to Dale's Showbiz Local Election Show. I tell you, this job is my idea of heaven. It's a night of parties, parties and more parties. Of course, no election night coverage would be complete without our resident expert talking 10 to the dozen, flapping his arms around in a specially created virtual reality polling booth. Yes, that's right. It's Graham Norton. Now, Graham, is that a swingometer in your pocket or are you just pleased to see me?
Oh, Dale! I tell you, one thing's for sure. With me around tonight, there's going to be no safe seats anywhere.
Now, what are you keeping your eye on in particular, Graham? The exit polls?
No, not. Oh, no, Dale. I'm more interested in these swinging voters. I wonder if they swing both ways. They sound right up our street.
You speak for yourself, sweetheart. And, of course, no showbiz coverage of the local elections would be complete without the lovely Babs Windsor. Babs, how would you sum up these elections?
Well, Dale, voter apathy which allowed Jean-Marie Le Pen's BNP party in France to gain a nationwide foothold could also prove problematic tonight. The concern is that extremist far-right parties here will also seek to play on voters' fears locally about rising immigration, street crime and unemployment.
Matt, could you just sum that up for our viewers?
You're lovely, Dale.
Howlett's
Fog, Animal
Park.
Oh, hello, is that the safari park?
Yes, we're a zoo.
Oh, great. Hello, my name is Mr. Vegas. I wondered, where do you get all your animals from?
We breed them.
Do you?
Yes.
I wondered, would you perhaps be able to adopt a now homeless monkey?
It depends on what sort of monkey is, only if we keep them here ourselves.
Would you be happy with that? He would be happy with that, yes.
No, we cannot take it unless we keep them ourselves. What type of monkey is it?
A little one. Very cute.
Yes, but do you know what species it is?
Polyester.
Polyester. I don't think we'll take those.
No, I think it might be. Sometimes, you know, he's like a little gibbon.
Right. Well, we can't help you unless you actually know what type of animal it is.
It's a little monkey.
Yes, I know, but is it a macaque or is it a lemur? Is it a... what is it?
Macaque.
Is it a macaque?
Sometimes, yeah.
If we don't keep them ourselves, I'm afraid we can't help you.
Is a macaque a little monkey?
It's quite a large monkey, which is plain brown.
That's it.
Here, I'm afraid, at all.
What if I show you monkey and you can work out what one is and where he should go?
Well, if I can take your name and telephone number, I could get someone to talk to you.
He lives with me and I'm a bit like an orangutan.
Are you?
Sometimes.
Okay, well, if you give me your name and telephone number, I can get someone to talk to you.
I will, but take him in soon, because soon the bailiffs are going to be here and we won't have any furniture left or anything. Please don't abandon me little monkey.
Well, I'm sorry, we can't take your monkey if we don't keep them ourselves.
Oh, well, thank...
On 92 to 95 FM. And 198 long wave. You're listening to Radio 4. You want home truths? You can't handle home truths.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. The third Cray twin. Following Matt Smith's shock departure from Go For It, Radio 4 bosses say they've tried to look as far afield as possible when auditioning for his successor.
Hello, and welcome to Go For It. I'm Martin Jarvis. This is the show all about what those groovy people at Radio 4 think you kids are into. Martin Jarvis reading Book at Bedtime. Martin Jarvis reading Just William and the Life and Times of Karl Marx. Read by me, Martin Jarvis. Ace. Now, in our Poetry Corner this week, we've got a very special guest. Yes, it's Martin Jarvis, and he's reading Neutral Tones by Thomas Hardy. Your eyes on me were as eyes that rove over tedious riddles of years ago. The smile on your mouth was the deadest thing alive enough to have the strength to die. Wasn't that great? And best of all, it's now available on the brand new audio cassette tape. Martin Jarvis reads thousands of incredibly depressing Go For It poems. Ace.
This is the BBC News at 10 with me, Michael Burke. Why does it always rain on me? Is it because I lied when I was 17? More on that story later. But first, after the government revealed plans for an animal bill of rights, there's already evidence that this bill has been taken too far.
Gee, Shaggy, you look white as a sheep. Have you just seen the Headless Horseman like every other week?
No, it's like Scoob. He's just served me with this wit.
Let's have a look at that. Oh, no, Shaggy. Scooby's suing you under the new cartoon animal bill of rights for unnecessary and prolonged exposure to haunted houses, spooky fairgrounds, and white-haired old caretakers called Mr. Jameson.
Soinks!
And he's also suing you on health grounds, saying for over 30 years you've never fed him anything but Scooby snacks. And he's claiming mental cruelty.
What mental cruelty did I inflict on him?
Scrappy-Doo.
You've been Scooby-Scooby sued.
While this police officer says a gang leader used the new bill to have him moved from the beat. Isn't that correct, Officer Dibble?
Yes, I arrested TC for using my phone. And he had me suspended on suspicion of entrapment.
Unless he has a judge authorize it, that was definitely an illegal wire he placed on Choo-Choo.
This is Michael Burke for the 10 o'clock news saying,
that's all, folks.
Mummy, Daddy, start the tape now. Hello, you're listening to the Today programme with me, Sarah Montague. Sorry. I'm just going to have to say that again. I still can't quite believe it. Hello. You're listening to the Today programme with me, Sarah Montague. With the time just coming up to 8:10, I'm joined on the line from Westminster by the Lib Dem leader, Charles Kennedy.
Nice to be with you, Sarah.
Charles Kennedy, Labour has just celebrated 5 years in office. How would you sum up the Blair legacy?
Well, the problem with Tony Blair is that he's profoundly...
Is what?
Well, I don't know. John always interrupts me right about here, so I... So I never actually get to finish my point. Now, come to think of it, doesn't John usually do the 8:10 interview?
No, John and James have been really ever so nice about that. We've split the big 8:10 interviews 50-50 right down the middle. They get to do Tony Blair, Chancellor and Jesus, should he make a second coming on Earth. And I get to do all the really exciting people like Charles Kennedy. They're ever so thoughtful like that.
I see.
Yes, it's great here. The other day, we all played this game where Jim and John locked me in a stationery cupboard. Go away and don't tell anyone I'm there. 2 days. Such James. Can you believe it's the exact same game I used to play with the girls in 6G?
No, Sarah.
It's such a laugh here. Whenever I walk into a room, they both start pulling faces like someone's let off really badly. And then just walk out without saying a word.
Sarah, Jim and John pull faces at you, walk out when you enter a room, lock you in cupboards for days at an end. Don't you think they're trying to tell you something?
What?
That they respect you enormously and love working with you. I should know that's exactly what everyone in the Liberal Democrats does to me.
I'm Trevor MacDonald, and you're watching the News at 10. Warning, may contain news. The BBC has scored a ratings triumph with the return of Off Weeders and Pet, which trounced ITV's The Forsyte Saga. But ITV bosses insist there will be no knee-jerk reaction in this week's episode.
Why, what a remarkable sight this is. My husband, Mr. Soames Forsyte, and Mr. Philip Bosinney, seemingly engaged in idle conversation. Whatever can have precipitated such an occurrence?
We're having a tea break, Pat.
Aye, carrying a hood's warm work when you're wearing a three-piece suit and a cravat.
Mr. Bosinney, you promised me you should be free of your professional duties for the day, so we might enjoy a romantic tryst.
Aye, Pat, I know I said today, but I won't be ready now till 3 weeks Thursday, and I can't specify morning or afternoon.
We must go quickly, or my husband will punish me in an awful act of violence leading to a chain of events that end in tragedy that no one could have possibly foreseen.
I can't, woman. We're really behind on the building. Nev's been off helping Inspector Morse. Harry's been making films with Mike Lee. And I've been busy having a face like a welder's bench and making crap pop songs.
But we're made for each other. Haven't you noticed my strange Geordie twang, even though we're supposed to be in the Foresight Saga?
Don't you go knocking the Foresight Saga. Far as I'm concerned, Brucey can go on whatever kind of holiday he likes.
Hello, loves. On 92 to 95 FM and 198 Long Wave, you're listening to Radio 4. Personally, I prefer Slipknot, but it's a free country.
Hey, g'day. Welcome to Go For It. It's your old mate Rolf here. And this is the show all about what the groovy people at Radio 4 think you kids are into. Hamsters with ear infections, rabbits with dicky tummies, and cute little kittens who might not make it through the night.
Ace.
Just take a look at this poor little cat that they just brought in. Apparently his name's Cromedy. Great news, listeners. He definitely isn't making it through the night. Only joking. No, I'm not Ace.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Ah, hello, yes. Tell me, are you known on Earth as David Dickinson from Bargain Hunt? The David Dickinson, hmm?
That's my name.
Then it is you. I'm known only as the Doctor. Forgive me. Are you the
Doctor?
Yes, yes, yes.
Who are you?
I am just a traveller. Tell me, my friend, are you the gentleman who has an expertise on a cornucopia of artifacts, gadgetry and miscellanea?
I'd like to hope and try and think so after 30 years.
Oh,
but you
good.
Never know it all.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You are you're the very distinctive fellow, aren't you, with the abundant hair and the golden skin like a Zygon hatchling.
I've been described as Lovejoy on acid. That's me, I think.
Really? Lovejoy on acid? Yes, I wondered if you could advise me, my friend.
I'll try my best.
Yes. Well, I've got an old magnetic core extractor, which was used by one of my former incarnations. I think when I looked like John Pertwee. It dates back to about 22750079, and I wondered what I might be able to get for it.
Sounds a very exciting, rare item. How far has it travelled in the galaxy? That's what I need to know first of all.
Well, it's a little atomised.
A little atomised?
Yes, it was stolen by Draconians.
Draconians?
Yes.
Well, that makes it even rarer, because normally they eat them. So if you've got one that survived from the Draconians, I would say that was quite rare. I would say that was a good lot, a bit of a Bobby Dazzler.
What a charming term that is. You say note the patina, don't you? What does that mean?
The patina is the surface that is on the object. I would have thought, whilst you were travelling through space, the debris, the wear, the tear, the lightning, the strikes on your vehicle,
yes. That
would give you the patina.
Ah, I thought the patina was a term used for a Suntaran hatchling's probic vent. Well, I'd better be on my way. I don't know whether I'm in a sandpit in Dorset or the planet Exelon.
It sounds to me that you're in the planet Exelon.
That's wonderful, and I hope that you don't think that I am a duffer.
I don't think you're a duffer for 1 minute. I think you're an absolute Bobby Dazzler.
Hello, this is Front Row, and I'm the snooty one. No, the other snooty one. Following recent heart trouble, Lily Savage has embarked on a new career. Front Row caught up with her during rehearsals in the West End.
Well, of course, I'm out of hospital now, aren't I? So I'm going straight back to work, bleeding heart attack and a woman in the prime of my life. It's probably a delayed shock from having to do blankety blank. Not to mention seeing Scylla in a pair of crotchless pants at the Royal Variety Show. Let me tell you, collars and cuffs do match. It was enough to stop anybody's ticker bleeding now.
Lily Savage there, appearing in the angina monologues.
On 92 and 95 FM and 198 Long Wave, you're listening to Radio 4.
Is that Libby Purvis on? I like her. You dirty old git.
Hello and welcome to the BBC's election night coverage. I'm whichever Dimbleby that works for the BBC. And it's almost a quarter to four in the morning. The only people up are insomniacs, breakfast DJs and truckers high on amphetamines. Now, we're getting word through. Yes, we have had this confirmed. Someone has actually cast a vote in these local elections. We cross over live to Kirsty Walk.
Hello, David. Yes, someone here has cast a ballot, but I'm afraid he hasn't actually voted for anyone. He was very drunk. All he did was doodle on the back, draw a smiley face next to the candidates' names before soiling not just the ballot paper, but also the polling booth as well.
I'm Michael Burke. I want to take this love and make it evergreen. More on that story later. Millionaire space tourist Mark Shuttleworth has been giving interviews from space. Here's an idea. When he comes back, let's all dress as apes.
Hello and welcome to Go For It with me, Hyacinth Bouquet. This is the show all about what us groovy people at Radio 4 think you kids are into. Dyson vacuum cleaners, watching that lovely Richard Whiteley on Countdown, and Brasso. Well, all right, we know you're not into that, but if I mention them often enough, you jolly well will be. In my opinion, Go For It is a lot like you kiddies. Yes, it should be seen and not heard. Ace! That's one of the many washing powders I've tried, though it's not a patch on fairy snow. Only joking. No, I'm not. So think on.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwall. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain, John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, Paul Ebbs and Stuart Robinson. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.